in St. Louis. Your final comment.
Well, one of the things I'll note here is this seems to be one additional chapter in a larger tragic narrative, that being young people accused of minor offenses, underwhelmingly minor offenses, met with overwhelmingly major uses, excessive uses of force. This is being played out across the country. And what it speaks to is a need to change in policing culture and policing tactics. That is to say, the best way to protect the community
we have
is to
leave
in fact
it there.
Respect the community.
Cornell William Brooks and Antonio French. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Matte. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with our host, Joe Uris.
KBOO is getting ready for our annual book and record sale coming soon, and we are accepting donations now. The sale will be held sometime this fall at the Volunteers of America building, 537 Southeast Alder Street in Portland. The book and record sale is a great way to help contribute to your community. So do us and yourself a favor. Clear out those books, comics, DVDs, VHS tapes, LPs, and CDs collecting dust around your abode and bring them down to the station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, during our business hours. Got questions? Contact Jesse at 503-231-8032, extension 213, or online via email, volunteer@kboo.org. Remember, the stuff that you're sick of, others may treasure. Turn your clutter into cash for your community radio station, KBOO.
Interested in solar power? In saving the planet and money on your electricity bill? In creating millions of good jobs? Celebrate the just-completed solar power electricity installation at the Musicians Union Hall on Sunday, August 17th, from 3 to 7 p.m. You'll have a chance to see the rooftop solar unit. Learn about how you can do it on your home or business. There will be food, children's games, displays, and lots of music from the likes of Dave Robix. Again, that's Sunday, August 17th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Musicians Union Hall, 320 Northeast 20th in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Again, sun is on my face, solar panels in place, catching solar rays.
Is it bleak night, my lord? Look! The moon like a testicle hangs low in the sky.
Greetings, Bonzi. Ni baza ba ni bit. Remember me, Mork from Ork? You once called me the nutso from outer space.
Look at this thing. Look, Flipper.
Good morning, Vietnam!
He's Popeye the Sailor Man. He's Popeye the Sailor Man.
Who is that, Captain?
It's Peter Pan.
Why? 10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck.
Fossey, you do Martha Graham, or Twyla.
Oh, no, Joanne. You are here without your parents. This is kidnapping. Now go, shoot.
Which one do you recommend? The Fujitsu or the Fuji.
Where's my mom and dad?
We don't know. This house has been empty for years. Everyone thought you were dead.
You don't know about real loss. Because that only occurs when you love something more than you love yourself.
Why can't we treat death with a certain amount of humanity and dignity and decency and, God forbid, maybe even humor?
Captain, my captain.
Sit down, Mr. Anderson. Sit down! This is your final warning, Anderson. How dare you?
Okay, this is KBOO 90.7, your FM dial. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Abe is not here. He's getting ready for an exciting event in his life this weekend, and it's just me.
Abe Proctor is gone for the time being. It's just me. And I'm torn, literally, on what to do today. One of my heroes, Robin Williams, killed himself yesterday. And he suffered from depression, which many, many people who are funny do. And, you know, his loss is a very serious one. Mork and Mindy was one of the best sitcoms ever. So here's my problem. I wanted last week to do just a lightweight show and invite people to tell us jokes. My rules for jokes on KBOO were very simple. They couldn't be racist or sexist or make fun of people who are crippled or challenged in any way or who are older, which kind of cuts your humor down, unfortunately, but leaves plenty of room. And I wondered if you all had really good jokes that you were ready to tell. Then events, the real world, kept intruding. And in fact, I'm this is where I'm torn. I can talk at length about the horrors of Gaza. I am perfectly willing to do that. I can talk about the incredible stupidity of American foreign policy. I'm perfectly willing to do that. But maybe, just maybe, some of you want to talk about nothing. That's right, humor, stuff that's funny. And perhaps some of you even want to talk seriously about the role of depression in humor. So many comedians suffer from depression. So many performers suffer from doubt. Anyway, this is KBOO. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, 231-8187. We want to hear from you. I'm gonna start out just by talking about some stuff that came up in the last few shows that I've been doing. Now, I don't know how much you listening to me now pay attention to our talk segments here on KBOO. I happen to think that by and large they're the best talk radio in the region, and certainly much better than the Lars Larson fiascos, and certainly much better than much of the so-called progressive radio. Now, that's my take. But it's all very serious. And one of the things I discovered in the last couple, 3 weeks, I have taken on just to help out doing the Friday talk show as well as our regular Tuesday shows, is that people are mystified and confused and in some cases actually prejudiced around the question of the state of Israel and the role of the Palestinian people and that history. And I decided that one of the things I want to do, amidst the jokes that I'm hoping desperately you'll call in with, really, jokes, you know, jokes, in honor of Robin Williams. But in the midst of that, I do want to make some things clear. Past call-in shows have shown what I think is a tinge of alienation and, I don't know, kind of prejudice against Jews. And I think that that is an unfortunate way of dealing with the outrages of the State of Israel. It is really important to separate out the reality of Israel and the creation of Israel and its history and the history of the Jewish people and the history of the Palestinian people and the history of the Middle East. And this is a tangled web. It's tangled on another level entirely in that the United States, under the leadership of the Republican, yes, the Republican, and to some degree the Democratic parties, got themselves into an ultimate quagmire in the Middle East. All about oil initially, but now about who knows what, that continues on as a rousing fundamentalist reactionary force of Islam in the region has been murdering people, taking over communities, burying people alive, shooting people, forcing women into sex slavery. I mean, all kind of horror. None of which I believe is essential to nor has much role in the wisdom of Islam. But this is all happening, and it all happened when we opened the door to it by killing the dictator Saddam Hussein, by invading Iraq under unreasonable, lying circumstances. First Iraq War, tolerable, understandable. Second Iraq War, not at all so. All of it driven by the ambition of the neocons. Well, that's sort of the focus of the serious topic. At the same time, and this is a real challenge for me and for you, we need humor now, desperately. We're looking at the situation in St. Louis region. We look at the situation all over the world. We realize that things are going to hell in a handbasket. And what possibly can we do to keep our spirits up? Well, humor is the weapon of choice. And I wonder if in honor of Robin Williams, in honor of his mentor, Jonathan Winters, you know, we couldn't maybe have a few bits of humor. Nobody can judge how somebody else tells a joke, nor can anybody judge whether a joke is really funny, except if you laugh at it. Well, it's a chance for me to see if you are up for that, and it's a chance for you to be a performer. In the midst of that, I will be talking seriously. I don't know if this is going to work, but I think it's worth trying, about the history of Palestine / Israel, and about the essential racism that allowed Zionism, a movement in reaction to prejudice, racism, and religious bigotry, to misunderstand and to ignore the situation in Palestine. And a little bit of this is a history that I know from my childhood. The concept in the creation of Israel was a really interesting one, you know, because it begins with a denial, an absolute denial. The idea that there was a land without a people and people without a land at the end of World War II. First of all, the Palestinian people numbered in the hundreds of thousands. The land was not empty. The land was productive. The lives of the people there were good, largely rural, but also involved in all kinds of productive activity. The Zionist movement saw Palestine as an empty space. They really did. It ignored, literally ignored, the obvious presence of the Palestinian people. And in fact, in order to create the State of Israel, the Irgun and other military units of the Jewish state killed and moved out of their villages innumerable Palestinians. The Palestinians call it essentially the disaster. Well, it is for them. It has been for them. And it's very unlikely that a resolution to this problem, even with terrible bloodshed, will ever be in our lifetimes. But we need to understand what goes on, how it all happened. Zionism, just to be clear, Herzl and others created as a response to the fact that the Jewish people are and were persecuted throughout their history, from the time of the Second Diaspora under the Romans, and this is something I just felt like people didn't grasp when we were talking on the radio the other day. The fact of the matter is, being Jewish in the Christian world, more so than in the Islamic world, ironically, but being Jewish in the Christian world meant that you paid a Jew tax because you weren't a Christian, meant that you had to wear a funny outfit in many places, sometimes Stars of David, which were, of course, replicated by the Nazis, had to live in ghettos where you had to be in by sunset, all of that. And then the pogroms of the 18th, 19th, and into the 20th century, in which routinely Jewish communities were attacked. The women were raped and killed. Babies were slaughtered. Houses were burned down. Stock and food and supplies and so on were stolen by mobs encouraged by the official governments of places like Tsarist Russia. All of this leading to legitimization for the Zionist movement, very understandably so. But Zionism assumed a very overall ignorant position, that is, that Palestine was an empty land waiting for new people, and that it was, like for many religious people, part of God's mandate. Well, that sets up that problem. But now I'm also interested in trying to get away from all of this terribleness of our time. I'm trying to escape from the horror of racist police departments in the suburbs of St. Louis. I'm trying to make our lives a little brighter with possibly this summer some humor. So if you have a joke to tell, or if you have a comment more seriously to talk about the current crisis in Gaza, I welcome both. And if you have something else you really think needs to be aired, I welcome it as well. So I'm going to let this roll and see how people do. 231-8187. Again, I welcome humor, but it can't be racist. It can't be sexist. You know, you play by the cable rules. Brian, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, man.
So, listen, you know, I love Robin Williams. Seriously, he was made a, you know, I was young when Mork and Mindy came out, and, you know, I kind of followed him. I did lose track of him the last 10 years. But, you know, one thing I liked about him, and it incorporated, you know, into what I believe people, entertainers should be, he made social statements.
Yeah.
Very, very strong ones.
Yeah, and he was very influenced by Richard Pryor, for example, who was very strong on social statements.
Exactly.
And Jonathan Winters.
And he acknowledged, you know, he was one of the few really famous people, and when you look back, he was extremely famous, who just acknowledged their, you know, their backgrounds and who they were and who influenced them. You're right. But, you know, the thing is I think it would be really nice for some levity and humor these days. But, you know, I think in his memory, as responsible people, I think we need to stop making this fun. This is not funny anymore. You know, and you just pointed out the last, you know, like 15 minutes you've been speaking, there is very little to laugh at. And we need to start acknowledging our role, you know, and our responsibility in the world. And this is, we're going to be held responsible, at least in the minds of the people who are suffering and who are contributing to suffering, you know, too. And we are funding this mess.
Yes.
And you know, if you want to go to St. Louis, if you want to go to the streets of Portland and look at it, we are funding this all the way to Gaza and across the world. And you know, I hadn't heard a lot from Robin Williams in the last few years. And you know, I don't see suicide as an option for anybody. But I know comics are hyper aware of the world. And generally, you know, it's enough if somebody's already depressive, it's enough. What's going on in the world is enough to depress anybody.
Yeah, no, I really agree with you. I think your insights are very useful. I'm going to...
Yeah, I'll let you go. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot, man.
Bye.
I'm actually very sad at the loss of Robin Williams. His more recent work hasn't been so super. But one of great turning points, in fact, one in which I think he won an Academy Award, was in a film that was directed by Gus Van Sant, of all people, Good Will Hunting. Which is a very significant movie, very important movie, in which Robin Williams played a very humane and doubt-filled psychiatrist. I bring this up, and it's a very for me it's a very difficult thing, because I see in many people I know who present themselves as entertainers this bifurcation. This sense of wanting to be up and amusing and defiant and challenging to establishments, but all at the same time feeling so sad, so deeply, profoundly depressed at the situation of the world. And what do we say to our children? What do we say to our grandchildren? What do we say to each other in the face of the failings, the terrible, terrible failings of this late-stage capitalism in which we live? I really do want to hear from you, and if you can tie these things together, if we have a joke or two, I would love it. I'm not having high expectations. I know humor is in the eye of the hearer and the teller, and I understand that. And then when I say, you know, let's not make it sexist, let's not make it racist. Let's not. One of the ways that humor works, of course, is to externalize these prejudices. And one of the things we don't want to do here at KBOO is exactly that. So it's a challenge. I'd love to hear from you. But meanwhile, I'm going to talk a little bit about Gaza and a little bit about the situation there. And I'm going to be critical of both sides. A lot of people, a lot of progressive people are so outraged, rightly so, by the way, at the behavior of the Israeli Defense Force in Gaza. And I want to make some things clear about Gaza. The Israelis essentially turned it into a place where people were controlled to the extent that they didn't have adequate calories in their diet, that they didn't have adequate building supplies, that they didn't have adequate medicine, that they didn't have adequate housing or food or whatever. And in response to that, there has been this constant warfare led by Hamas. Hamas is ideologically bound to try to take over Palestine and to free it from a Jewish influence. At the same time, it is reckless in its attacks on Israel. I think the strategy of provoking horror out of the Israeli Defense Forces is and visiting it upon the Palestinian people is so a terrible a tactic that I find it, from my limited perspective, just incomprehensible. And the behavior of Israel in this context is incomprehensible. But what I think has happened in Israel is we've had layer upon layer upon layer of war and attacks and difficulties and denial and misunderstanding and refusal to understand and a real sense of erasing the Palestinian past. Almost all the villages and cities that had Arabic names have been renamed in Hebrew. The fact of slaughters, the fact of massacres, the fact of forced removals by the Jewish forces have been ignored. If you talk to most American Zionists, they, and that includes, by the way, the Christian fundamentalists who believe ardently, insanely, that end times will come when Israel, Palestine, is totally in the hands of the Jewish people, and then that sets it up for the coming back of the Messiah. Well, you know, I guess people believe what they believe, but I think that's a pretty horrible idea. Anyway, I really do want to hear from you. So, two problems. The horror of our world today, the fact of the United States meddling in and because of oil interests and real politic behaviors, creating a disaster in the vast areas of Syria, Iraq, and Palestine, and so on. That's very real and very, very serious. And the way in which that's kind of reflected in the behavior of the police in this country in their clearly racist and I think probably murderous behaviors in the suburbs of St. Louis. You know, this is really a very depressing situation. Our involvement and our inability to get out of the involvement in Iraq, a problem of much of it of our own creation. Historically, by the way, a problem of Western creation following World War One. I mean, it goes way back. So we can talk about that. I want to hear from you. I know a lot of people have lined up. If you got a good joke, boy, I'd really like to hear it. 231-8187. Matt.
Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, I don't know if it's a good joke, but I like it.
Go for it.
All right. Julius Caesar walks into a bar.
Julius Caesar walks into a bar. Okay.
Says to the bartender, "Excuse me, my good man, I'd like a Martinus, please." The bartender says, "You mean martini?" Julius Caesar says, "Look, pal, if I wanted more than one, I'd ask for it."
Oh, that is so aware of Latin.
There we go.
Oh, and man, that's a pretty intellectual joke.
To try my very best to title.
Yeah, well, that's not bad.
Romans, right?
Right.
So, all right, well, that's the best I got. Let me jump off and let everyone else have a try.
Well, thank you for the shot, man.
Thank you, bye.
That's not a bad joke, actually. All right, 231-8187. Here's the deal. We're trying for both humor and for real comment on the awful situations that we see before us. In the news. And it's a kind of a contradiction that is, I say, in honor of Robin Williams, because it embraces the terrible horribleness of the times in which we live, of late-stage capitalism, of imperialism, of a kind of a romanticization of Zionism that we see in the United States. Okay, so... I'm looking for jokes and I'm looking for comments, and I'm willing to talk about the history of both the Jewish people and for that matter, the Palestinian people, and the very real situation of Israel, beginning with, I'm focusing in on time from 1948, when Jewish forces systematically murdered and chased out of their homes huge numbers of Palestinians. That's real. That's historically factual. That's something that many, 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 many people either don't know or deny. So I do want to hear from you, 231-8187. Michael, you're on the air.
So, a preacher, a priest, a rabbi, a clown, a cowboy, and a duck.
Wait a minute. You're going to have to repeat all those. It's too much to remember.
Okay. So, here goes. A preacher, a priest, a rabbi, a clown, a cowboy, and a duck walk into a bar.
Well, I'm laughing already. Go ahead.
The bartender looks up and says, "What is this, some kind of joke?"
That is a good joke, man.
It's fast, too.
Yeah, I like it. Thanks a lot. Oh, gosh.
Sure. And now I have a Jewish one for you that I'm really proud of because I made it up myself.
Go for it.
What do you call somebody who goes to Passover dinners even though they hate them?
What?
Seder masochist.
Oh, okay. Yes, that is a joke you made up yourself. But it's not bad. It's not bad, man.
Not bad. No, the first one is better, but that's because I didn't make it up.
Okay, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so...
yeah, go ahead.
Now that you laughed, on to the depressing part.
Yeah.
I am really worried about that ISIL thing in Iraq.
Yeah.
That is a horror. That is just a horror. And, you know, there's only one country in the planet that can do something about it, and that's us, and we're not doing it.
Do you think that the response to the United States should be to put boots, as they say nowadays, on the ground?
I would say that the response to the United States should have been, when they were spreading across Iraq, to just lay down a line of cluster bombs everywhere they were traveling on roads, and it would have been the end of them. But Obama didn't do that. And, you know, if we end up with a country that has its own oil and is run by a group that's so incredibly extreme that Al-Qaeda disowned them, that are beheading people and sending, you know, all the stuff.
Burying people alive and taking the women as slaves and so on.
Right.
Yeah.
All of which are parts of the Quran.
Seriously.
I mean, the Quran has phrases in it like, just for instance, something I care about because I'm Jewish, that we'll go kill the Jews and every tree and rock will shout out to us, "Come and kill the Jew who's hiding behind me." This is something that's in the Quran.
I don't know the Quran, so I can't even argue with you on that.
You know, find yourself a Quran that has an index.
Mm-hmm.
Look up Jew in it,
mm-hmm.
and you'll find all this stuff. It's not hard to find.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, not every Muslim is going to act on those particular pieces of the Quran. I'm not saying that. But this particular bunch, they're acting on all of it, and they think that's what the religion means.
Well,
and they're going to have oil and an army and a country. And, you know, the last time anything like that was going on, we ended up with 9/11.
Well, you know, I appreciate your point, and I also would point out, and it's really important, that there are similarities in fundamentalist religions, whether it's Christianity or Islam or whatever, a sort of an intolerance of all other faiths. And this is what you're describing in the most extreme.
Well, you know, that's true, but there's one crucial difference.
What's that?
The crucial difference is that the prophet of Judaism, Moses,
mm-hmm.
was not allowed to enter the Promised Land.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The prophet of Christianity was put on a cross and killed before there was any such thing as a country run by Christians.
Yeah, that's true.
The prophet of Islam got to end up running countries, and so the way he ran his country once he got to run...
You're talking about the larger caliphate under the original Islamic movement.
Under Muhammad, their prophet. He ran a place, you know, while he was alive, and that all became part of the religion, all of that stuff. So the disadvantage or the difference between Islam and the other two Mosaic religions, you know, Abrahamic, mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Abrahamic religions, if you want to call them that.
Yeah.
Is that their prophet got to run a place, and all of that stuff, that Sharia law, is religious law.
Well,
and
I think
this tradition of, yeah. no, the religion's going to run this country. The idea of separation of church and state
mm-hmm.
is incomprehensible in Islam because their prophet got to run a country.
I think actually you're right in to a large extent. I am I want to be careful here because I am ignorant, very, very ignorant of the Quran and very, very ignorant of the deep history of the rise of the Islamic State. So while I appreciate your comment and I think you're right, I don't know. Okay?
Well, that's fine. I say I don't know a lot myself.
Okay, man. And I do appreciate your jokes. And I think I want to be clear about this. I think your insight into what happens when religious fundamentalist movements actually get to take over real land in the real world may be more useful than not.
Well, thank you, sir. And I have one more comment I wanted to make after I said the jokes, but then I forgot.
What is that?
Just quick.
Yeah, go.
I found my way into a successful social life relatively late in life as a child by developing a kind of a cybernetic sense of humor.
Uh-oh.
No, seriously.
No, I understand.
And it worked for me, and I got to be the funny kid, and, you know, that all worked out well for me. However, what I found later on, you know, I looked back and could realize it, that it also puts a wall between you and everybody because it's like you got this mechanical sense of humor out there in front of you, and that's not necessarily... doesn't necessarily make you feel like people like you. It just makes you feel like you know how to do something that'll make people glad to have you around. And so it's
alienating in its own self.
So it's like on the one hand it's successful, but on the other hand it's a wall that you're hiding behind. And you know I got past that too, luckily for me. But when you have a just incredible, like, you know, the fastest supercomputer in the world doing that for you, like Robin Williams did.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's probably a bigger wall that's harder to get through.
No, I think that's a good insight. In fact, I think when you look at really great comedians, and I'm going to let you go now,
sure.
but when you think of great comedians, contemporary comedians, that rapid-fire imagination, the ability to riff on things is really spectacular. Richard Pryor comes to mind. Jonathan Winters comes to mind. Two very different comedians, but also Robin Williams. And I think that it is alienating. I think it does separate you from the rest of humanity because most of us don't work that way. The struggle with depression, which is, I think, the natural outcome of the situation in the world that we live in, is a whole other question, a whole other set of issues. And I personally struggle with a sense of futility and ugly view that humanity is just messed up. And my anger, I think it's anger, at the failure of the people in the world, particularly the American people, to recognize the reality of what's going on. We live in a mythic state in which a set of myths prevail. And because we live in a mythic state with a set of myths prevailing, we are not able as a people to honestly analyze our own history, let alone the history of others. So I want to hear from you. We're talking about two very different, very serious things. The situation in the Middle East on the one hand, and my desire, my deep desire, and my sense of the profound need at this time for humor in the wake of the suicide of Robin Williams. 231-8187. Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, love your show. I wanted to tell you a summer joke.
Okay.
I wanted to tell you about my camping trip.
Okay.
It was intense.
Oh, no! That's terrible!
That's all.
Thanks a lot. That's wonderful.
Bye.
Bye-bye. A simple, direct joke. See, we can have humor. Who says KBOO's too serious? 231-8187. Lisa, another Lisa? Go ahead.
Is that for Lynn?
Hello?
Hi, this is Lynn, not Lisa.
Oh, Lynn. Sorry, man.
Okay, so anyway, not man, but anyway... I actually have a way to tie some stuff together here.
Okay.
When you're talking about Robin Williams' depression, and it is a tragedy. I mean, he was very gifted. He was very funny. I laughed hard enough to probably hurt a rib several times.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one little fly in the ointment that I'm sorry, I just got to bring up because of depression. Okay, as you may or may not know, one of the groups of people in the society who are extremely vulnerable to both depression and arguably the most vulnerable to suicide is transgender people.
Yeah, no, that's really true, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay, and I'm not saying, I would not say that it's an equivalent when, you know, people figure there's nothing funnier than a man in a dress. I'm not saying it's the same thing or at the same level as blackface, but I'm saying it might be somewhere on the same spectrum,
mm-hmm.
and that the other thing, what really gets me in a way, because people are going to laugh what they're going to laugh at, and it's like any job, you do what you need to do to make it. Now, I don't know anything about Mr. Williams' personal finances, but I know that movie made a hell of a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's been a lot of other movies that have made a hell of a lot of money, you know, using the same basic thing. And I'm not aware of anybody involved in any of those ever spending a nickel of that to help real transgendered people.
That's just something I don't know. I mean, you raise a question, and I don't think you or I know whether they show generosity or leadership in those
well,
issues.
Well, the thing about it is if part of your job is publicity because that's how you get paid, I think if they had, somebody might have known it. But if somebody does know, I'd really appreciate hearing it because, you know.
Well, you raise an interesting question. I think we're beginning to understand, when I say we, I'm talking about humanity, and particularly in the West, the variety of human experience, the variety of human identity, particularly sexual identity, and we put so much weight on that.
It's gender identity, not sexual.
Sorry, gender. Well, you know, you're right, gender identity. And I think it's time we gave that whole game, said goodbye to it. And I really appreciate your call, man.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much. Okay, 231-8187. We're talking humor, and we're talking about the terrors of the Middle East. Who do we got? Ira.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Joe. Did you know that the best definition of an honest politician in today's world is one who, when they're bought, stays bought?
I've heard that before, and I think it's the best we can hope for.
I think that says it all.
Okay, thanks a lot, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, 231-8187, the contradictions, the paradoxes, and the horrors of our age as we face them and try to be funny, because Robin Williams, one of our great funny men, has gone. So, can I hear from you? 231-8187. We're looking for jokes, and we're looking for facts, and we're looking for questions, and we're looking for some understanding of the horrors of what's going on in the world today. Who we got, Mark?
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Here are a few attempts at humor.
Okay.
The first is a joke that Paul Krugman tells.
Paul Krugman tells jokes?
That when Bill Gates walks into a bar, the average income skyrockets.
Okay.
I heard the second joke from a German teacher some years ago. He was on an airplane. He was asked what his vocation was, and he said he's a theorist.
A whatist?
A theorist, which in German means theorist.
Yeah.
But
oh, theorist. I see. I get the drift of this. Go ahead.
And the airline person thought he said terrorist.
Of course.
The third is a Polish proverb. You can make fish soup out of an aquarium. I think I've told you this before, but you can't make an aquarium out of fish soup. And this is very insightful to me because we seem to put the cart before the horse, you know, and just assume that self-interest will bring about a public interest. If everyone is selfish, then we'll have a harmonious society. That's the invisible hand,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very perverse notion. And of course, it's so sad that that the powerful live in a bubble and that they don't respond. They go and play golf, and they leave the world in total disorder. So we're always shouting from the caboose. We're always trying to plant the new in the midst of the old, and hope, and, you know, as Kierkegaard said, thoughts that wound from behind, you know, hope that we can interest people in an alternative and to abandon the mythic world.
I think a lot of what you're saying is really interesting and very true. And Kierkegaard's notion is sort of the good intellectual ambush. And I appreciate your call. I'm going to do some business now. I got to tell people that on KBOO today, this morning at 9, alternative radio award-winning journalist Chris Hedges, who I think is a great journalist, speaks about Captain Ahab and the U.S. Empire. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, commentary with Chris Andre. 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on stage in studio, D-May Roberts talks with Paolo Catalani of the Colored Pencil Art and Culture Council about the Stories from Home event featuring immigrants and refugee writers and musicians. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Galavan interviews the visual artist Nicola Lopez, whose works look at the built environment and traces themes of collapse and regeneration. And I want to thank you, seriously, for your contributions to KBOO Radio. And I want to point out to you that we are the only progressive radio station. We are the only source for all kinds of music on the air. And we are struggling always because we don't take advertising. We don't take big money. And you know what? We don't see a lot of it coming our way, even if we wanted it. So won't you make a contribution, a significant one, whatever you can afford, to KBOO? Thank you very much. 231-8187 is our number to call. We're talking about the dreadful situation in the Mideast. By the way, the term Mideast is itself a kind of weird geographic racist notion. But we're talking about that region and the horrors of what's going on there, ranging from what's going on in Iraq to what's going on in Gaza. And we are talking about, at the same time, humor, the death of Robin Williams, jokes. If you have a joke, I'm more than willing to hear it. 231-8187. Pam, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. And sure. I want to thank you for reminding us that there are such things as jokes and laughter. And I tuned in a bit late. Has anybody given you A Duck Walks Into a Bar yet?
What? Which one?
A Duck Walks Into a Bar.
Well, there's lots of duck walking into bar stories, but go with it.
Okay. Well, a duck walks into a bar and hops up to the stool and up to the bar and says, "Bartender, give me a beer." Bartender says, "We don't serve ducks in here. Get out." So duck leaves. And next night, duck walks into a bar, hops up in a stool, says to the bartender, "Give me a beer." And the bartender says, "I told you before, we don't serve ducks in here. No way, not even water." And duck leaves. Comes back the next night, says, hops up in the bar stool and says, "Okay, give me a beer." Bartender says, "I told you twice now, and I'm not going to tell you anymore. I won't tell you a fourth time. This will be the last time. We don't serve ducks. Not beer, not water, not nothing. Get out of here. You come back again, you're going to get what for." Duck walks into a bar, hops up in the stool. The next night, hops up in a stool and says, "Give me a beer." I'm not a comedian, obviously. And
never apologize during a joke. Go
okay.
for it.
Thank you. And bartender says, "I told you, I've told you three times now, and I told you I wasn't going to tell you again. We don't serve ducks. You hop up here again, come in here again, I'm going to nail your feet to that bar stool." And duck leaves. He comes back the next night, same thing, only he says, "Got any beer?" Bartender says, "No." Duck says, "Got any nails?" Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. That's terrible.
That is terrible.
Thank you.
It was good when I heard it. Oh, well, bye-bye, thanks.
No.
Take care.
That's fine.
Bye-bye.
That's just such a cruel joke. All right. 231-8187. We're looking for humor in the midst of tragedy. The death of Robin Williams being the occasion for that. And we're still talking about the bizarre and terrible I think I would call it the terrible consequence of colonialism and of adventurism in the capitalist marketplaces that has led to multiple disasters in places ranging from Palestine to Iraq to all over, including Saudi Arabia, a nation state which is far from free. 231-8187. Who do we have?
We have Anita.
Anita, you're on the air.
Hello, I have just a retelling of one of my favorites, which is Lily Tomlin's No Matter How Cynical I Get, I Just Can't Keep Up.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I also like her, I refuse to be intimidated by reality anymore. After all, what is reality but a collective hunch?
I like both of those.
And then my ex-husband had a nice phrasing of a Yogi Berra-ism. Mm-hmm. If folks don't want to come out to the ballpark, there ain't nothing you can do to stop them.
I like all three of those. Thank you very much.
And
Another.
Well, just one more. The ever-popular, when you come to the fork in the road, take it.
Thank you very much.
And
another
on a serious note.
Okay.
I just would like to comment that there are beautiful things in the Quran about tolerance, that there is no coercion in religion, and that certainly the other Abrahamic religions are considered people of the book and are supposed to be respected. So the fundamentalists there don't understand their religion any better than fundamentalists of whichever variety, in my opinion. And there are some very upsetting things in the Hebrew Bible if you read, some stuff in Joshua, say.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's lots of nasty stories in the Old Testament.
And there's some unsettling stuff in the New Testament, too. So there's fundamentalist problems all around. The object is to get beyond it and to remember that we, in each of our traditions, have problems to wrestle with.
I really appreciate that insight, and I think it's true. I have to confess, which is already obvious, that I just don't know the Quran, so I can't ever comment when somebody says something about it.
I don't know much, but I know at least that much.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you so much for the show, and it is sad about Robin Williams.
Okay, thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Yeah, 231-8187. We're doing a strange show today, if you're just tuning in. We're trying to combine two absolutely uncombinable aspects of our entertainment world, talking seriously about the disastrous events in the Middle East and linking it to some degree to the racism that we've seen in St. Louis area, and at the same time looking for humor in the sad loss of Robin Williams, who killed himself yesterday. Okay, I want to hear from you. 231-8187. Bart, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Yes, it's a sad day. Robin Williams was a very bright light for actually a very long time
in
public media. He had a lot of problems coping with his own manic nature, and it's come to a sad end. I think that for those of you into vinyl, you can pull out those records and people can watch old movies, but he's a tremendously gifted person, and I saw some bits that he did with Jonathan Winters from the show and from elsewhere, and the two of them together was kind of like a whirlwind for your mind.
Yes.
We'll miss him, and I think it's good for you to salute him in this way.
Well, it's I was going to say it's the least I can do, but perhaps it is actually, in fact, for me, the most I can do. Anyway, thank you very much for the call. You don't have a joke handy, do you?
Well, the duck joke's already been taken, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. 231-8187. Combining the most inappropriate possible topics, the great tragedies that we see befalling us because of racism and power relations, particularly in the Middle East, but also right here in St. Louis, Missouri. And on top of that, we're looking for humor because of the death of Robin Williams, one of the great humorists of our time. I think of Richard Pryor. I think of now gone Jonathan Winters. I think of the kind of humor, the manic humor, the insane humor that these fellas produced. 231-8187. Miriam, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
So I had two jokes. The first is political.
Okay.
It's a little bit dated, but
that's all right.
I will understand it. Right. So this. Three passengers on an airplane. The Pope, Henry Kissinger, and a hippie.
The Pope, Henry Kissinger, and a hippie?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So then the captain comes on and says, you know, we're losing an engine. The plane's going down. We're all abandoning ship. There are two parachutes for the three of you. You guys work it out. So they bail out. So the Pope says, well, I'm the head of the Catholic Church, one of the most important people in the world. I obviously deserve to survive. So he puts on a parachute and jumps out of the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Kissinger says, well, I can't imitate his accent, I'm sorry. I'm the most important, one of the most intelligent man in the world. I obviously deserve to survive. So he puts on a parachute and jumps out of the airplane. The hippie stands there and looks after him and says, wow, I can't believe it. The most intelligent man in the world just jumped out of an airplane wearing my backpack.
That's not a bad joke. I heard it before, but it's not a bad joke.
Yeah, I like it. It's one of my favorites. So the other one is also fairly common, I think, but it's a little humor about death.
Always a laugh riot.
Yeah, it is. Right. So this guy goes on vacation, leaves someone in charge of taking care of his cat for him. So, or his brother taking care of his cat for him.
Okay.
So you've probably heard this, have you?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
So he calls up after a few days and says, you know, so how's my cat? And his brother said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, but your cat died. And the brother said, oh my God, did you have to tell me so abruptly like that? You know, I would attach to that cat I was. You could have just spoken the news to me a little more gently. So his brother said, well, like, how, you know? So he said, well, the first time I called up, he could have said something like, well, your cat's up on the roof and we can't get her down. And then the second time I called, he could say, well, your cat's still up on the roof and we still can't get her down. And then the third time he could say, well, actually, your cat died. So the brother apologizes and, yeah, I could probably be a little more sensitive. So, anything else you want to talk about? So, the absent brother says, well, so, how's Mom? Mom's up on the roof and we can't get her down.
Oh, no. Okay.
So, that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Great topic.
Thanks. Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 231-8187. Jessica, you're on the air.
I just had wanted a shout out for kindness as well as humor, because I had a personal experience where I actually worked at a project with John Callahan, and Robin Williams actually wrote him a very nice letter, and he had it framed on his wall, and I just wanted to show you or say what a great human being he was for reaching out to John Callahan, you know, one of our great local humorists and cartoonists. So I just wanted to pass on that story because I think it was a really tremendous thing.
I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't know about that. John Callahan actually did a lot of work, wonderful cartoon work. And people may not know, but he was confined to a wheelchair due to an auto accident, I believe, which involved alcohol. But I do think that Callahan's work was really quite amazing. For a brief period of time, I was one of the people who founded a publication probably hardly anyone nowadays has heard of, the Clinton Street Quarterly. And Callahan's work, we had Callahan's work in there a lot. And I thank you for reminding us of him.
Yeah, thank you very much for the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. 231-8187. Joe!
Good morning.
You got a great name.
They're sitting around discussing.
Start again. Go ahead.
Okay. Three intellectuals maybe college professors, who knows, are sitting around discussing what kind of an engineer our creator was, the creator that designed the human body.
Uh-huh.
And the first engineer, or the first intellectual says, well, the creator had to have been an electrical engineer, because if you look at the way the minute electrical impulses, microvolts work, and the complexity of the brain and the nervous system, he had to have been an electrical engineer. The second intellectual says, oh, no, he had to be a mechanical engineer, because if you look at the way, look at the elbow, he says, the lever and the fulcrum and the elbow joint, he says, that was a mechanical engineer. The third intellectual says, nah. Our creator was a civil engineer, and they both looked at him and they protested, civil engineer? You got to be kidding me. And the guy says, well, yeah, who else would have put two waste disposal conduits right through prime recreational area?
Oh, okay.
And by the way, Will Rogers, the great humorist, said when somebody asked him about depression, he says, well, most folks are about as happy as they want to be. And by the way, I learned something on KBOO about 2-3 years ago on Madness Radio during pledge drive time. The guy who, Bill Wilson, the guy who came up with the idea of Alcoholics Anonymous,
mm-hmm.
when he treated his patients back in the 1930s, he gave them a very complex regimen of, well, it wasn't that complex. It was just a vitamin B complex, niacin, thiamine, and all the B vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things that helped prevent people from going back to alcohol. And guess what? I learned on that show, after the AMA kind of took over his program, the Alcoholics Anonymous program, they don't put that in there anymore. So methinks that they want job security.
You're very cynical.
Well, I can't keep up, like Lily Tomlin said.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, man, thanks for the show. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. All right, 231-8187. We're doing two things at the same time. We're having jokes, and people are coming up with them, and some of them are very, very funny. And we're also talking about the grim and horrible reality of the situation in domestically in St. Louis and in the Mideast, in the terrible, terrible situation we see in Iraq and, of course, in Gaza. Let's hear from you, 231-8187. Dan, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you, Joe? I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Just got to say that woman previously mangled badly the airplane joke.
Wait a minute. What did she do wrong?
It, and it's pro-Pope, so it's not in fitting with KBOO or my thoughts. But anyway, the whole premise is the same. They're in the back. There's three people, two parachutes, and Henry Kissinger is saying, I must take the parachute. I am the smartest man in the world. And he elbows, he elbows the Pope out of the way, grabs a parachute, jumps out the door. The Pope says, my son, you must take the other parachute. I am old, and I follow my teacher's example. You take it. And the hippie says, Holy Father, don't worry about it. The smartest man in the world just jumped out of the plane with my backpack. But it's slightly different and a better joke, and I couldn't stand the way she mangled it.
Okay, so now we have meta criticism of our
there
jokes.
There you go. Footnote it properly.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 231-8187. Humor on a dark, dark day. All right, last one. Carlos, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, this is Carlos. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, this is about the grim reality of the world, and I'm gonna try to shed some humor on it. I'm not really good at.
You got to go fast because we're running out of time.
All right. So, anyway, recently over in Oregon, they just brought in some zoos, some gorillas, to the Oregon Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And this poor. This lady, she decided to go over there for the afternoon and see the gorilla exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
So she went over to the zoo, and she looked around, and she finally found the gorilla exhibit. And to her surprise, there was only one gorilla
mm-hmm.
In the cage at the time, sitting over in the corner. And he looked really, really sad and really, really depressed. And so out of the kindness of her heart, she reached into her lunch pail and she grabbed out a banana, and she reached through the cage and she waved it at the gorilla. Well, anyway, the gorilla came running towards the cage really fast, grabbed the banana out of the poor woman's hand, pulled her over the cage, had her way with her, and they couldn't get off. Couldn't get the.
We, I think we lost the joke, and I'm not sure that we could have told it anyway. All right. Thanks a lot. You stay tuned to KBOO. It's really important. It's really good, and it's got the best music in the world.
And the Clinton Street Theater are proud to present one of the great concert films of all time, Jazz on a Summer's Day, a documentary of the 1958 Newport Jazz Festival. Jazz on a Summer's Day captures the music, the crowd, and the essence of such jazz greats as Louis Armstrong, Thelonious Monk, Jerry Mulligan, and Anita O'Day. Jazz on a Summer's Day, Thursday, August 14, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street, Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Old rocking chair's got me.
Old rocking chair got your father.
KLU Community Radio and Triangle Productions are proud to co-sponsor the return of Medicarefully Fabulous. Friday, August 8th through Saturday, August 16th, Medicarefully Fabulous will return to the Sanctuary Theater for a limited engagement. The show is a series of original stories about aging, faith, friendships, and recovery. Again, that's Medicarefully Fabulous, Friday, August 8th through Saturday, August 16th, at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at KLU.fm.